Atomic batteries and power.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. Again, this is Douglas Viviani with the rather astonishing David Cohen.
Hello, Doug.
How are you?
I'm excited.
Why do you feel so excited? We've got a special guest this week.
You said it.
Throughout the past 50 years, the amazing Kreskin has appeared many times on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, The Joey Bishop Show, The Mike Douglas Show, The Late Show with David Letterman, Howard Stern Show, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, just to name a few. He's also flown over 3 million miles throughout the world to bring his timeless and entertaining feats of mentalism to the world. So amazing are his abilities and story that in 2008, a movie was made called The Great Buck Howard to bring his story to another generation. Truly an amazing innovator, mainstream in our pop culture for so many years. The entertainer really has amazing abilities. We welcome him to Everything Old is New Again, the amazing Kreskin. Welcome.
I'll tell you, it's Douglas and
yes.
It's David, right?
Yes.
And it's good to talk to you guys. This is the first time I've heard about your program. I think it is diabolically neat. I want to tell you, I love the title, Everything Old and New Again. As I travel around the world, and 2 years ago, you're mentioning the amount of miles that they announced last year, but 2 years ago, if you counted all of the radio, television, and concerts in that 1 year, I did exactly 364 appearances around the world, exactly 364. So they tell me in the industry they don't know anybody who has this kind of pace, and I stay sober most of the time, so your listeners don't have to worry too much. No, I'm only joking, guys. I'm only joking.
As we said, okay, yeah, that makes one of us, you know?
Yes, I like that. But, you know, it's interesting because I've done over 1,000 university shows in the States and in Canada, and it's interesting if I have a Q&A after a program or sometimes the people who are studying broadcasting or studying newspaper work or what have you, they'll do interviews, and they're fascinated with the past experiences I had because they don't have access to them today. But I always mention, I don't live in the past, but I learn from the past. I mean, the perfect example is what we're going through today. We're in a world war. It's well over 2 or 3 years old. It started actually at 9/11. But the point of the matter is, in our colleges and our high schools, we're not studying history anymore to any real length, let alone our politicians. Now, I've been pretty scathing about it because of all the interviews I've done on news shows the past 2 years, and I don't want people to think I have anything against politicians. I just wish that most of them had been on the Titanic. It would have made things but at the same time, we've been warned years ago, if we study history and learn from it, fine. But if we don't study history, we're going to live it over again. And that's what's, because in the entertainment field, the cycles, the big story now, it's going to break in very shortly, because I make predictions every year, and I just did a piece with a prominent composer of music for motion pictures, and I have to keep a lid on it because it's about a 12-minute or 15-minute movie piece, but they're discussing what I predict is going to happen in a couple of years in the movie industry, and that is, it's my not next year, but within 2 years, it's my prediction that there will be return of double features. And the reason, and people in Hollywood who are leaving Hollywood in droves, they're going to television, the writers of movies are leaving all over the place for the past 2 years, and the reason is that when you go to a movie today, as you, Doug and David, you know, you go to see one movie, you pay a pretty high price to see one movie. It's a couple hours long and so forth. Well, guys and gals, just go on the internet and look at the successful movies, aside from Gone with the Wind and what have you. Alfred Hitchcock movies were about an hour and 34 to hour 40 minutes in length. the Bob Hope Road movies with Bing Crosby were an hour and 24 minutes, an hour and 26 minutes. Some of the best westerns, some of the best mysteries were less, much less than 2 hours because they fit into that time frame. But because now you have to fill in 2 hours or more for people to pay that kind of money, stories are being ruined. And that's why in movies today you see tremendous amount of noise, explosion, and violence. And the people in Hollywood, they're calling me all over the place, they say, thank God someone has addressed this because we're not writing the movies that once took place.
Right, and that really brings us to the point of our show, Everything Old is New Again, is and I'd love to see the double feature back again. I remember actually going to see, if you remember, the Planet of the Apes, and at one point they released all five movies. They had a day, what was it called? Go Ape, where you watch all five in one day at the theater.
You're kidding me, I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah, so if I could survive that, I shouldn't say survive, but I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the double feature, so I'm on board with you on that, but I just wanted to turn a little bit to talk about, just for a moment, of what you do. On all these appearances, we've seen you do, you know, card tricks, hypnosis, feats of mentalism, like setting your watch to a number of bells of personal hearing their imagination, right, to find your check in the audience. What is it you do? Let's put it that way, if I could just be that bold.
Oh, that's a good question. In fact, I was on last night on Fox with Alan Combs, with whom I have done interviews and appeared with for some 30 years, and it's hard to believe that it's that much time has gone. As a fact, in the case of talk about my past, Alan Combs, before he worked for the Fox News Network, he worked on ABC Radio, and he had a nighttime show at midnight. And I can remember my first experience in hosting any kind of broadcast. He was taking some days off. She said, Kreskin, you can take over. So I come on. And you guys understand this. And folks, just listen. It's midnight. The show is live. And I'm sitting by myself at a desk with a microphone in front of me. And the light goes on. And I knew at that moment, when the light went on, that I had to now fill in 5 hours of time till 5 in the morning, because it was a nighttime midnight show that Combs had done for a number of years. Now, we had guests come on and people called in and what have you. But, you know, this was the early, there was a man before him that, and by the way, I was on with him last night, and we talked about, he says, Kreskin, can you explain? He says, I've never been able to understand what you do. He says, I know these are not tricks. I know that I did something with cards in which I had one of the producers leave the studio and outside the studio take a card and turn it face down in a deck and come back in with the deck in his pocket. And Alan Combs took about 3.5 minutes between throwing coins and pennies and quarters on a table and seeing whether it was heads or tails. He finally narrowed the questions down to one card in the deck. He says, well, now, this is the card that it comes to, but it's all chance. And that was exactly the card that the gentleman had turned around. I had forced him mentally to bring about these kind of decisions, because what I do is I don't foretell the future. I've looked in the crystal balls, but I get a headache. I just can't seem to look that clearly. I get out of focus. No, I read people's thoughts, or I influence their thoughts, and that's what my work is all about. That's why I can't play poker at any casino in the Western world, because one year I was performing in Aruba. This is on a documentary that was shown on television, a half-hour documentary about me, and my road manager then came on the show to verify.
And Kreskin, we'll leave that as a teaser. We're going to say right after this commercial break, we'll find out
why. I'm going to stay tuned, because I want to hear what I'm going to say.
Here we go. We'll be back, and Everything Old is New Again with the amazing Kreskin.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. We are enjoying a week of amazing Kreskin. What do you think of that last section? We had a nice time with him, huh?
We did. He's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, so we're not done yet. Unfortunately, he didn't have a ton of time, so we were limited in the time we could speak with him. We are going to speak with him again in the next section of our show.
Yes.
And dedicate that, of course, whole section to him. But I wanted to just, let's take a peek behind the scenes. And first of all, it was great to get Kreskin. I had just seen him when I was a kid. Do you remember him in the 70s?
Sure.
He was on everything, and then late in the 80s and 90s, he was on Letterman. He started out on Carson.
Tonight Show, yeah.
Tonight Show, and so he was always... was he a magician? Is he, what's a mentalist mean? He does hypnosis. Or what is this guy all about, you know?
Hence the amazing Kreskin.
Exactly. You can never figure out. He just does so many different things. So anyway, I wanted to take a look for a moment back and see what, if anything, you remember of Kreskin. So let's just do a tickler here. Do you remember the old Mike Douglas show in the 60s and 70s?
Oh, sure. The one where Kramer took his set for Seinfeld,
that's
the old
right.
Mike Douglas set? Yes.
That's right. I don't want to put the guy down, but he didn't seem like the most talented guy in the world, Mike Douglas, you know?
Oh, was that Merv Griffin? I might be wrong.
Griffin,
okay,
right.
Sorry. But anyway. But it was a similar kind of guy, right? Mike Douglas,
exactly.
Talk show, daytime, yeah.
And so what would happen was he would bring in a special guest as a host or a co-host for the entire week, which is pretty cool. Sort of what we do in a way, in that when we have a guest on, except for, of course, this time, every other time we have Peter Weller and other people, we spend the entire hour or even extend it to another show to them, and they're on the show as a guest host with us, people from Quarry and all the different guests that we've had. So Mike Douglas had Kreskin on as the guest host for the entire week. And I think that was the beauty of Mike Douglas, in that he kind of knew some limitations. He wasn't a comedian. He was a singer, and he was okay at singing, but that was it. His interviewing skills wasn't the greatest in the world. So he said, well, let's bring on,
So Kreskin did it. He was a guest. Because didn't John Lennon do that also?
Absolutely.
For a week?
Almost
yeah.
Everybody in the industry in the 70s did it.
Hosted the Mike Douglas show.
Yes, co-hosted. Jerry Lewis was on it. Almost all of them. So funny. Dinah Shaw, whoever. All right, so let's listen a smidge here. It's a little long, just to give you the one of the tricks he did on the Mike Douglas show. Let's see if you get a sense of who Kreskin is.
I might explain that I have here a collection of business cards. Actually, they all have Kreskin on them. And on the other sides of the cards are names of about 100 or 95 guests with whom I worked on this show. Would you reach in behind my back with your hand, please, Mr. Jerky? Just reach in. Pull out a couple of cards immediately. Just take out two. Don't even look at them. As a matter of fact, place them face-to-face so the Kreskin is on the outside. I'm going to draw a line down the slate, and I'm going to ask you, Mike, if you will, to initial the other side, the back side
of
the
slate.
Yeah, right across. Mike, the other important factor, if you will kind of stand here, to take each of these glasses... Now, would you place them down on the table in a kind of triangle, Mike? Two back here
and
one up forward.
There,
okay. So the slate may rest. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to look at the names, Mrs. Jerkin. The chalk rests about 4 inches or 3 inches from the slate. Mrs. Jerkin, I believe one is a girl, one is a lady, the other is a gentleman. Am I correct?
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you something. I see A.R. Is that Arthur? Would that be Arthur Godfrey? Answer yes or no.
No.
Or I can't get it. We'll go on to the lady. I'm sorry. Lady's name, I get a P, correct?
Yeah.
B is the last name, B-A-I, Bailey?
Yeah.
Pearl Bailey?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Now let me try to go to the name I missed, because I did miss it. A-R was correct, but it's not Arthur.
Right.
Last name, A-R-K.
Right.
A-R-K-N-I-N, Alan Arkin?
Yeah.
Could we show this to our camera? There we have
wow.
Pearl Bailey. You did pick it out of some 70 names, 70, 80, Alan Arkin. But that isn't all. Our camera could even lower at this moment. The chalk mic has been resting 4 inches away. Would you lift the outer part of the slate and turn it towards our camera, please? Look. You have there B-A-I-L-E-Y and Arkin. A-R-K-I-N.
There he is, the amazing Kreskin. Did you get any of that, what he was doing? What was that all about?
Well, probably a lot of our listeners won't know who Alan Arkin is or
right. Pearl Bailey.
Pearl Bailey, but yeah, he guessed names out of thin air.
Out of a hat.
Right.
And he actually put them on a slate before the people pulled out the name out of the hat. So how is that done? I don't know.
Entertainers today still do that. If you watch America's Got Talent, AGT,
right.
They have people that are doing that today. So I don't know. It's an amazing skill, and I really don't know how they do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, obviously it's a trick. He doesn't have, you know,
psychic
abilities.
Oh, no, it's magic, Doug. It's magic.
Or it's mentalism, one or the other. But it was funny because he had all these Playboy playmates around him while he was there as well in a different trick I was watching. And he is a constant professional because there's jokes and there's, you know, people giving him looks, and you go on Letterman. They're always about the joke and not necessarily about what he's doing. And he always just plays it off. Whatever someone says, oh, yeah, he'll laugh about it and get back to the joke. Or get back to the trick, I should say. So he's the constant professional that way, very focused. I don't know. Let's just see if you can hear what this one. This is pretty interesting what he usually does with regard to a live performance and how he gets paid.
Yesterday in Rochester, when I left the theater, the audience hid my check. When I came back in, the concentration caused me to find my way to a woman in the audience knitting. She's crocheting. And a long piece of yarn down into a large bag on the floor. I thought to myself, oh, no, they wouldn't do anything like this. I reached in, pulled out the yarn, intertwined in the yarn, threaded in it was my check. And the agreement was if I didn't find the check, the show would be for free.
So, like, he always finds the check, except for, like, four times, and he does, like, 300 live shows, even at 83 years old now. He does, like, a ton of shows.
That's probably the most amazing thing he's done.
And yeah.
At 83, doing all those shows.
Exactly. More than finding the check. But it's, yeah, he's got to have a plant in the audience, of course, right? Don't you think?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't, what
but
do I
who
know?
Knows?
And something in his ear, you know, telling him this is where they put it and all this. But he does it in such a showman-like manner that no one's caught him on these things. Ever.
No. Right.
All these times. No one has said, I know how he does it. Look, there's, like, you know, Gaylord Perry throwing the spitball. We knew he did it, but then they finally caught him, you know, if you remember.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And right. All that kind of, they've never caught him. So it's pretty cool. All right, let's see. A little something on hypnosis. This talks about his performance and what he does with hypnosis.
I no longer hypnotize anyone, but I have found that I can produce the same darn results that you and I associate with hypnosis, with a person not being put in a trance. And this came about when I was about 11. The New York Times had an article that I was the youngest hypnotist in the country. Mike, a little boy can hurt his hand. Your father or a mother can take his hand and say, Johnny, you hurt your hand? You're crying? Let me kiss it. We'll make the boo-boo go away. They stop crying like that. They don't notice the pain any longer because they've accepted an idea. That's all hypnosis is.
So, I mean, that's very interesting, and maybe it's true. It's certainly what he said about the child is true. You know, there are times Leo will get hurt, and I'll just, you know, where does it hurt? And I rub his hand or whatever it might be. And it may help a little bit, but, you know, I don't know how much does it really help the pain go away, other than in the mind of the child, mind of a matter. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Power of suggestion.
Right.
Definitely part of it.
It's part of it. So, and then finally, I just want to see what he says about when people say, you know, you're rigged, or this is, as we just said.
How do you feel about the fact that a lot of people probably are sitting there thinking that you use trickery?
And stooges and confederates. I get very philosophical, Mike. Maybe to those who believe, no explanation is necessary to those who do not.
Well, I can say this, and I have been with this man on many occasions. I have never seen him rig one single thing with him.
There you go. So that's Mike Douglas himself, you know, and he's up close and personal with the guy all the time. You know, back in the day. So
right.
I just find it interesting that this fella decided that he thought it was probable and mentalist capable to come on our show. It was something he had to do. So we'll be back. Let's do it again. Right after this. Here's the applause for our show from an audience in the 70s. The Mike Douglas Show. And everything else is doing.
We didn't give him a check either.
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show. Everything old is new again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
The auditoriums we played in were old, usually half full, but Buck didn't seem to notice.
Welcome to Cincinnati!
I love this town!
Welcome to Wausau, Wisconsin!
I love this town!
The minute he came out on stage, he was in his element. Everything he did, he made the impossible seem possible.
And your number is 17.
Oh my God!
Isn't that wild? It's wild!
Known for his many appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, put some 800 people to sleep.
Suddenly, Buck was hit.
Presented the great Buck Howard.
Oh, no, the great Buck Henry Howard. I don't know why that got cut off. This is Douglas Viviani with the great David Cohen.
Yes.
And the amazing antics of this gentleman sitting next to me pale in comparison to the amazing Kreskin.
Yes.
yes, I will keep saying yes.
We're celebrating Kreskin here on Everything Old is New Again. Yes. He'll be back with us for the next section, the last section of our show live to have a nice interview and discuss Everything Old is New Again as well.
Again, yes.
He's also going to do and perform or present us with some predictions. That's what his business is now. He feels that that's the next turn of his career.
The Nostradamus of the present day.
Interesting. I like that. But the question is, have you seen, before we get there, the movie, The Great Buck Howard?
Have
you seen
I that? Have not.
2008 movie John Malkovich.
Any good?
It was written by someone that was with Kreskin as a stage manager or a colleague, I don't know, an administrative assistant for a couple of years and took his experience and made that movie. And Kreskin does acknowledge that what's in that movie is, in essence, his life. So it's a pretty cool movie, a look into the behind the scenes of the amazing Kreskin. Along those lines, let's see if we've got an amazing Cohen and an amazing Viviani here. I want to do some predictions here. And I'm going to throw some at you and see where you stand. We've got, first of all, television shows that are going to be broadcast in 2017 that have yet to be broadcast.
So we're going to say whether they're, what, successful or not successful?
That's correct. Let's do this now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to go ahead and pick out these shows. Let us know if you think they're going to be a hit or a miss.
Okay. So, for those of you listening at home, Douglas has just handed me a list of shows for 2017. The first show is... These are really shows? They're going to be on TV? Okay. Star Trek Discovery. That sounds like a hit to me. Anything Star Trek related on TV as a series, I can't see how that misses.
I'll comment in a few moments on that.
Okay. And
so, you want me to comment now? I'm back in the studio. All right.
Do you like my stall tactic?
I had to leave to help engineer the studio show here.
The Star Trek Discovery.
I'm confused about that one because the first showrunner has left, and I think his name is Brian Fuller. He's left the show to do another show, and now I don't really know why you would do that unless there's something going on, there's a problem. I think there's going to be a problem with this show. I hate to say this. I don't think this show, the first year, is going to be successful. They'll renew it, but I don't think people are going to be talking about it saying this.
So we have
a
divergence
show.
Of opinion on Star Trek Discovery.
What else you got?
All right, the next one. Can't read your handwriting. Sorry.
Oh,
wait,
okay.
Hold on. Here it is. This one.
Oh, the next one is The Defenders. What do you think of that?
The Defenders, which is, wait, The Defenders are who? The Marvel guys?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Mega hit.
I agree. Daredevil,
mega.
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist on, what is that show? It's going to be on Netflix.
It might even be a phenomenon.
It might be a phenomenon. What else you got on that list?
The next one is Bluey. I'm reading your handwriting. Bluey.
How about Barry?
Barry.
That's
Wait, is that with the guy from Saturday Night Live?
Yes, it is.
Major hit.
Bill Hader.
This one's going to be a major hit.
I think it's going to be horrible. I really do.
All right.
The premise of the show is...
It's kind of dark, right?
It's going to be very dark. I don't really know...
Dark shows are in, man.
You think so?
Yeah, they're doing well.
All right. What do you think of this American Gods? It's going to be on Stars.
Right.
It's...
Miss.
The
you
fella
said Stars.
That,
nothing on Stars is
oh,
successful.
Oh, no. The Black Sails is tremendous.
Yeah.
Brian Fuller, the fellow that left Star Trek...
Right. As the
Discovery,
showrunner.
As a showrunner, went to this show, American Gods.
Huh.
So I think...
What's it about?
It's the Neil Gaiman's novel of the same name about gods on Earth. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think it's going to be a hit.
I say swing and a miss.
Okay. All right. What else we got? How about The Deuce? Have you heard of this one? James
I have
Franco,
not.
Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's a show, a period piece of the 70s. The 1970s with the, you know, drugs and sex and rock
swing
and roll.
Swing and a miss.
It's going to be a swing and a miss. I think that's going to be horrible.
For some reason, the 70s just doesn't, I don't know.
It doesn't resonate.
There are
a
few things that happens in the 70s that they try to resurrect. It just doesn't play well for some reason.
Well, you want to watch somebody doing drugs? I mean, that doesn't make a show interesting. I'm sorry.
No.
Sharp Objects, an HBO show. What's
that one about?
It's dark, another dark woman's psyche with a woman that's... trying to find the psyche.
It sounds great the way you're describing it.
It's going to be horrible.
All right, I'll pass because I have no idea what it is.
And finally, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, a new actor for Amazon, is the network, is going to be acting in the Alec Baldwin and who else is in there? Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, the Jack Ryan series. Remember those?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I'll say.
You know, started with Hunt for Red October.
I'll say it's going to be good.
That's going to be a hit. That's going to be the new 24.
Oh, I thought the new 24 is the new 24.
Eh, it's okay. It's not a bad show. You just don't know any of the characters. You've built up so much affinity to the other cast that I think it's just going to take a little bit of time.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things.
It's the same writing. It's like putting a different actor in the same exact role. You know,
like a reboot. A reboot.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I don't say it's bad. All right, how about the movies? Let's go to some movies. I'm looking at Beauty and the Beast from Disney. Phenomenal hit.
Yes, yeah, how could it go wrong?
Baywatch with The
Swing
Rock.
Swing and a miss.
Correct. Murder on the Orient Express.
Swing and a miss.
Correct. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Big hit.
Correct. Justice League.
Big hit.
Oh, we're in there. Waking everybody up with that. Transformers. The Last
Swing
Night.
Swing and a miss.
Correct. You're on the same as I am. How about Life? That's where they go to Mars, I believe. I don't know.
That's interesting. Name me two of the stars.
I can't write this second.
Okay.
It's going to. I think
right.
That's going to be
that's
good.
Okay. Yeah, I would say chances are.
That's chances a winner. How about the new Star Wars?
Oh, of course it's going to be a humongous hit.
Yes. How about Spider-Man Homecoming with another different actor, a third one now playing Spider-Man?
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. Swing and a miss.
Ooh, I think it's going to be a big hit. I think.
All right. We should come back and revisit this.
Yes. Again, Jake Gyllenhaal and Rebecca Ferguson is in this Life movie about a space crew discovering life on Mars.
Yeah, I think that's going to
I think it's going to be huge.
I think it'll do well.
Ghost in the Shell, It, you know, It, the Stephen King. Horrible. It's going to be horrible. Here's a surprise. Thor is going to be terrible. They've got Thor against Hulk. I just think it's going to be all action.
That's what the Thor is going to be about?
Yes.
Thor against the Hulk?
It's going to be all action.
Bad.
No one's going to like it. King Arthur, I think it's going to be horrible.
Wait, whoa, King Arthur?
Yep.
Who's King Arthur?
I don't know off the top of my head. Wonder Woman.
Big hit.
I think the exact opposite.
Big hit.
Going to flop.
We're going to come back. We're going to see. This one especially. We're going to come back and see. Power, baby.
We'll see. War for the Planet of the Apes is going to be a big hit. Halloween, I'm going to tell you, is going to be a resurrection. This Halloween.
Again, doing it?
They're doing it again. I think it's going to be a big hit, you know?
We're going to disagree on that one.
How about Mr. Captain Underpants?
Oh, that could be huge.
I think it's going to be a
miss.
Blade Runner is
going to... Why do you think it's going to be a miss?
No one can relate to it. I think Blade Runner is going to be a huge flop.
Blade Runner, no, not a good idea to resurrect.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
We'll be back on Everything Old is New again right after this.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
This is Bobby Clark for Everything Old is New Again, and a nostalgic look to the future.
There we go. That's Bobby Clark. Guess who he was?
Hockey player for the Philadelphia Flyers?
He was. He was also the original Gorn on Star Trek. Original show.
Diversified career, indeed.
And we had him right here on Everything Old is New Again. What do you think of that?
I think it's a good thing.
We've had some tremendous guests. We've had Peter Weller. We've had...
That was cool, yeah. We've had some good guests
Jay
recently,
Johnson,
right?
We've had Terrence Winter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've had the creator, David Schulner, and showrunner of Oz.
Yes.
What's it called? Emerald City.
Emerald City.
And we had the Quarry gentlemen.
Yes, the Quarry boys who went on to become the Beatles. That was a big catch for us.
Well, there was also the Cinemax show that...
that was the Quarry, right.
It was
right,
on 10 episodes. They haven't renewed it yet. Hopefully they do. It was just starting to gain some speed. I hope that gets renewed and we'll come.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was very good. It was a fun time had by all.
Yes.
In this deep, dark... life of a hitman. Anyway, we're now going to be diving into the final discussion with Kreskin. Let's have some fun. And
the amazing Kreskin.
The amazing Kreskin joins us right now, right here on Everything Old is New Again.
It turns out he didn't play those kind of jokes. And he said, "You all right, Kreskin?" I said, "Fine." He says, "We'll go on from here." And I was on for about, 20-some minutes. But a man came home early that night from NBC because he recorded the Tonight Show earlier, and it was Johnny Carson. He was where he's living in New York, he and his wife, and he sees a mentalist is going to be on, and he watches the show, and he sees the incident of my walking towards tripping over. And about 6-7 weeks later, he created a character called Karnak, who always fell over the desk. That was me. And my last show on with him, which was the 88 show, I said, "You know, Steve," I said this to Johnny. I said, Johnny, "You never let me forget my image and let the audience know about me." Johnny says, "Oh, the mighty Karnak." So, you know, guys, today you can't erase your past. It does come back.
Exactly. And there's one of those mistakes you say that, that shouldn't be cut out, right? That comes to play. Michael, if you could just play clip 6, I'm going to play a little clip for you, Amazing Kreskin. And just my kids talking about what they want to do for a living, and I'll tie that into you in just one moment. We'll hit
okay.
this.
And
go
when
ahead.
I grow up, I want to be a movie maker. I want to be a dancer.
Okay.
There you go, those two little guys.
You know, but, I love it when kids tell me this because, first of all, I will tell you both extremes. I knew what I wanted to do when I was 5 years old, and when I was 9 years old, I started practicing and developing my skills beginning in third grade, fourth, and then by the time I was outside of sixth grade, I was already performing. I was getting $5 a show, which in those days was big money. But I meet people in college who say to me, "Kreskin, I'm majoring in this. I don't really want to know. You knew what you wanted to do. I don't know what I want to do for a living." I said, "That is great." I said, "Listen to me. Take advantage of something that no college can give you, even when you finish. You try everything. Take different jobs in different areas." Because years ago, the most powerful figure in the recorded history of broadcasting, who before he died, Steve Allen wrote me a letter and said, "I'm sending you my background on him. You must someday write his life story." He was the most powerful figure, forgotten today. His name was Arthur Godfrey. And Arthur Godfrey changed the whole history of radio broadcasting. He made people feel like he was talking only to them and what have you. And his shows were live and constant. And he, before that, had been a used car salesman, had slipped on the streets in New York, had gone from door to door and everything. So he knew how his audiences thought. He knew how they thought. My advice to any of you, you work on your dreams. Work hard to make them, but you may have detours along the way. Learn from those detours. And one more thing, and listen to me, you folks going to college, for God's sakes, if you're going into show business, forget about a $15 minimum wage. You guys can tell me, both of you right now can agree with me, Doug and David, you don't think of that in show business. You may have to work for peanuts to begin with, because I was getting $5 a show just to prove yourself. That's what show business is all about.
Absolutely. And that's
what we're getting $5 a show now, aren't we?
And happy to get
it. Hey, guys, I'm not talking about overpay. No, I'm joking. That's a
exactly.
joke. You guys do a good job.
Well,
understand the philosophy of this business.
That's the idea, and I wanted to ask you if you had any vibes, any feel, any. I know it's very difficult, but Everything Old is New Again been on, and we're growing and growing in stations and all that. Do you feel anything with regard to this particular show in terms of your experience that we've going to be successful? We're ending tomorrow or anything in between?
No.
And then we'll go into some predictions you have.
I wouldn't say anything like that, but I would say this because of this spark and the chemistry you both have. You've really touched on a new idea. It's based on an old concept, but it's new and refreshing. And I, even if you change and detour along the way, I really think that you have something that's going to awaken in people a refreshing intrigue. People will want to hear more about it, especially which what you're doing now is adapting it to the present, because again, we can learn from the past and apply to the present. I'll give you a perfect example in my work. One of the big predictions that I've made in recent years has dealt with this world war. Now, I'm not an authority. I want you all to hear me, folks. What I foresee is absolutely what's going to happen. I've written a book, came out last year, called In Real Time. It's my 20th book. It's my 20th book in real time. You can go on my webpage and go on Amazon.com, and it has to do with what I predict and see is going to be happening in the years, the months, the years, the centuries to come. Only because I spend all my time with audiences. I'm reading thoughts. 2 years ago, I was in Spain, Italy, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Wales, Netherlands, Canada, and the United States. So I'm sampling how people think. And that's the reason I could project into the future. As far as this war, I made a dramatic statement. And listen, I grew up, I was a little kid in the Second World War, where I was watching movies with Jack Benny getting in quarrels with a character who was the most evil person in the world, Adolf Hitler, but it was funny movies, and we didn't censor him, because damn it, I agree with Jerry Seinfeld, who refuses to work in universities today. He's made a statement, because they're now editing what comedians can joke about. My God, in the Second World War, they were joking about the worst people on the face of the earth. If we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in trouble. And listen, guys and gals, you got to learn to also look at things with humor, because we learn as much from humor. The war we're in now, there's no one alive, I predict, who will see the end of the war. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. I performed in Trump's house. I've been around Trump and everything else. I wish him success and what have you. But the reason I make this prediction is we don't learn from history. The longest wars in history have been religious wars. For God's sakes, look at our history, because you're not only fighting a power, a thirst for power, but you're fighting an ideology, and that takes longer to change.
Absolutely.
So we do learn from the past.
Absolutely, and that's why along the line, we're taking a nostalgic look to the future, as you say. We're bringing in the contemporary topics, looking at where they've come from and the foundation they're in. And the other point is that we're trying to make radio fun again. Kreskin, amazing,
yes.
Kreskin, you have helped us this week to make radio fun again, and we're very thankful and appreciative of your time. Without hesitation, I say thank you so much, and maybe sometime down the line, if you have some time, we'd love to have you back and talk about
maybe in person to read our minds.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, we'll do it. Oh, my God. We'll do it. We'll do it, and one way, and we'll talk about the book next time. And guys, in the spirit of broadcasting, and I say this whenever I'm on a broadcast, I'm not going to say to you guys goodbye. Let's just say to be continued.
Absolutely. Everything old
take
is new
guys.
Again.
Thank
amazing
you.
Kreskin.
New
thank
year.
You. Happy New year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for your time, sir. All right, we'll be right back on Everything Old is New Again. Wow, that's loud. Come on back.